I'm Eric Warista, and welcome to The Last Team on Turf, a New England Revolution fan podcast. Noam Shore and I are excited to bring you this new podcast, giving you content direct from the point of view of two long-tenured season ticket holders. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy the show, and we can't wait to hear from you. I'm Eric Warista.
And this is Noam Shore.
And you're listening to The Last Team on Turf, a New England Revolution fan podcast.
So, Eric, I had a feeling going to the NYC game this week in New York City that I hadn't felt in a long time.
Dour pessimism. No, I don't know. What feeling was it?
I just wasn't excited to go to a Revs game. And I can't remember the last time I felt that way. Last season, obviously, every game was must-see. Most of the season had some drama. And then before last season, we had the COVID year, which was exciting in a kind of a different way. But they were still an exciting team. But after what's happened the last few weeks going to the game, I just was completely unexcited. And it's been a long time.
I totally share that feeling heading into this game, even though New York had lost 5 out of 6 or 4 out of 5 coming into this game. You just had this feeling like the season was starting to circle the drain a little bit.
Right. Yeah, and you go back to the last run of games, which had some ups and downs and started with a bit of a bright note, although had some concerning play, but it was still an exciting game going back to Toronto. They fly across the border. They're down Kessler due to health and safety protocols. It's hard for me to forgive Kessler for that, just given where the Revs are. But they put in a good effort there, and it was an exciting game. New players played on the field for the first time, and the Revs started to show some spark. They came away with a 2-2 tie.
Yeah, they pulled that one out. They seemed better lucky than good, conceding 17 corners, which has got to be close to a league record. And, you know, were able to hold on. It was sort of a last-ditch effort. And came away with a point on the road, which looked great. And then they went to Montreal and just completely, there was nothing left in the tank.
Right. Yeah, you can see that Montreal coming after the effort in Toronto. There were a couple things in Toronto that stood out for me, and maybe it was the red smoke that got in their way.
Red smoke?
Well, the fans were lighting off these flares before the game, and then maybe after the first goal. There was so much smoke at certain points in the field, which seemed to affect the Toronto goalkeeper, because I think the fort, the equivalent of their fort, was down at that end. I thought it was kind of comical, actually. It's like you're kind of hurting your own team. I don't know what it's like to breathe that stuff. But maybe that's why the Revs decided not to have any corners in that game. And I think they were out-cornered 17-0. I don't think they had a single corner.
That's right. I mean, it was just total. They had no possession. It was the complete opposite of every Revs game over the last 2 years. They couldn't control the ball. They couldn't control the tempo. They couldn't control much of anything, but somehow they still wound up with 2 goals and enough to get a point.
Right. Well, they did have some spirited play. So they had Mac picked up a nice goal. For me, I wrote down it was sort of this continuation of a theme we were talking about a couple episodes ago or last episode about the Revs playing total football. Everyone contributing where they can on the field, and Mac picks up an important goal going into halftime. And then they went ahead with, which I thought was an amazing goal. You had Renix from a tight angle, but it wasn't just Renix's ball. You had a nice passing sequence from Heel, the entire buildup, and it started all from a fantastic dribble out of the backfield from Mac. And so that was a great team goal, and it really put Toronto on their heels for a little bit.
Right, and there is an alternate universe where this game goes a different way. I mean, they gave up a tough penalty in the first half, and then a late goal to tie it. But there's also another alternate universe where they lose this game 9-2. So
yeah, at one point I was joking that it was like corner number 20 and it was only corner number 16, but it wasn't that far off.
Yeah, 67% possession, 19-6 shots, but shots on goal only 7-4. A lot of Toronto's possession didn't really go anywhere. They had twice as many passes, 602 to 301, but almost the same number of crosses and the same number of duels won and tackles won. So
right. But you know, remember too, though, that the Revs are down 4 or 5 of their starters, right? You had a number of injuries, people couldn't make the trip. And so this was really a game of the youth movement. So maybe it's to be expected they wouldn't have all that possession. So that was a real bright spot for me. Looking optimistically at the Toronto game, I was thinking, finally, I see a team of the future. You know, a number of the signings that Arena made hadn't worked out. Legette had been shipped off.
Altidore sent out on loan. Yep,
Altidore on loan. And Omar Gonzalez had a difficult run to play. And, you know, actually, Omar had a great game in Toronto. I think he cleared a ball off the line and was back to what we would think is his old self. But really, I thought this game was about the youth movement. And they put up a fight. You know, Toronto came in strong. They're fighting for a playoff spot. But then it also makes sense to me that they just couldn't keep it together for 2 games on the road in another country, although just north of us, but still another country. And just collapsed in Montreal.
Right. But still, at that point, and there's not much to say about the Montreal game. It was an abject failure and total disaster in every way. Except for there was some hope that maybe that would reset and kind of clear the decks. You're coming back home for a 3-game homestand against 3 teams that are all individually not particularly strong this year. You know, LA is kind of on the playoff bubble. They looked ripe for the taking. Chicago's in last place. And then NYC, which had been off to a good start, has fallen apart of late. So, you know, I think we were really excited heading into that LA game and a chance to solidify the Revs playoff position. And instead, a 2-1 loss, completely disheartening.
It was disheartening, and the way they gave up those 2 goals to... And you pointed out a few times that Galaxy just aren't that good. And yet they just sliced up the Revs defense twice on some counterattacks, led to 2 quick goals, and the Revs could just never bring it back from there.
Right. And it was a game where they got back a little bit to their old self. Revs had 62% possession, outshot LA 19-7, but they couldn't find the goal frequently enough. And they sent in 20 crosses versus the Galaxy's 2. And it just seemed like they were a little bit out of sync in the final third.
It was really 20 crosses to 2 crosses from the Galaxy?
Yes, I'm looking at MLSsoccer.com right now.
I guess the numbers don't lie, but that's difficult to believe. Wow. And the Revs barely got a goal there. And I remember on that game, in fact, the first half was so dismal, my son and I left early to get into the ice cream line right before the first half ended. That's how bad it was.
Oh no.
And it was worth it for the ice cream. At least there was a positive outcome from that.
Yeah. You know, especially they fell behind 2-0 so quickly after 15 minutes. And Heel scored a great goal 82 minutes in where you thought they'd come back. But, you know, during this game, I just kept looking over at something that you jumped on very early in the season, which is that wrinkly inflatable jersey on the sideline. It's starting to look almost like a Moomoo, or at least an XXXL jersey, because we'll tweet out one of the photos we took at the game. But it's looking more and more ridiculous every single game. It seems to get closer to the field, it gets bigger, but it finds new ways to look less professional and less like something associated with a winning club.
Right. The shirt is so old. The jersey is so old at this point. It's starting to stretch out. It's a little symbolic of how the Revs are playing. So I do have to eat my words in this game. I was starting to get a little bit concerned about Heel. I think he was starting to get desperate. His team needing a win, and they're not putting the ball in the back of the net. And Heel, you know, just a star player all the time, I think was starting to get a little bit frustrated from what I can tell, and started to take more shots than he normally would. And most of them were not going in, even some of his crosses. And so I made this comment that as great and as amazing as Heal is, sometimes he has to realize his limitations. And shortly after that, he just stings the sizzler of a dipping shot into the far left-hand corner. Just an amazing goal. It lit up the stadium. From then on, I will gladly let Heal take as many shots as he wants to.
Yeah, absolutely. But it wasn't enough. And then that leads you to the next game against Chicago, which is, a last place team. And here again, they couldn't score. They did everything but
score. And actually, Chicago, I would argue, deserved to come out of there with a win. They had a PK, which Petrovic, his hero, as he has been game after game recently, made a fantastic save. It wasn't a great PK, but Chicago could have scored on that one. And there were other opportunities, too, to score. Of course, Petrovic saved the day. That was a tough game to watch.
Right. So we came into this homestand thinking the Revs could possibly get 7 points. And now here, right, two games in, they had one. And on paper, the toughest game of the homestand coming up next.
Yeah, and the Chicago game had a couple other things that stood out to me. One was Bo just getting his feet back, and I think he was offside something like 4 times. It was getting a little bit comical. You know, Bo's just trying to find his rhythm again after coming back from injury. And then the whole team was really kind of just standing around. I just thought they looked mentally tired, like they had just had nothing left to give for, you know, needing to come up with a must-win situation. Maybe it was another midweek game, all the injuries, they're just tired. That could certainly play a big role in what was going on.
Yeah, I think you started to see the effect of a team that has been missing a lot of guys from injury, and then that forced some of the role players into much bigger minutes than they've ever played before, certainly with this team. I mean, we talk a lot about Boateng in a starting role, which we love to see, but that's a lot more minutes and a lot more responsibility than he's normally given. Rennick's playing a lot of minutes. Some of the new guys, Noel Buck, Eshmir, the great young midfielders taking on a role and getting a lot of playing time, which is exciting, but that's a big ask for a team that last year, a player like that might just have to come in and play 5 to 10 minutes and maybe do 1 or 2 touches and help seal off a win. Now suddenly are playing the whole game and expected to produce.
Yeah, and I think when Buxo left, he was starting to score every game, and Bo took over that scoring mantle after that. But you know, that's a lot for a team to overcome when your top scorer leaves, and then your next top scorer gets injured, and then there's more injuries, and the signings from the offseason haven't really worked out, and then you're bringing in all these new people. It's great, you know, to bring in the new people, and I'm glad that the Revs are pushing for the next generation now, but it's too much to overcome, I feel like, this season. And that's kind of where I was at. I was like, coming into NYC, what do they have left?
Yeah, it just felt like the season was over, quite honestly.
But then they pull a rabbit out of a hat against New York City. They had a big traveling crowd, the NYC fan base. They brought a banner about their 2021 championship season.
And that one hurt
to them. You know, one day it did hurt. It hurt a lot. I took a picture of it. One day I think the Revs will be able to carry that banner around, something like that. But it was tough. It was tough to see that.
And so what was different last night, do you think?
Yeah, so, you know, getting to the stadium, and once the game started, it's always fun to see soccer in person, so I was excited just to be there at that point. And actually, you know, I thought New York was eating the Revs alive for the first part of the game. Much stronger possession, bossing the field, the ball was switching sides. They looked like a much more talented team overall. Mm. But the Revs kept their minds in it, kept their eyes open, and were able to counterattack and come up with not one, not two, but 3 deadly counters and some really nice plays, you know, along the way there, and came up with an exciting win. Nothing else to say about it. It was an exciting game. And Petrovic, of course, too, really saved the day. I think he had two saves on clear breakaways, very close range shots, just phenomenal. And to see saves like that in person, it's really an amazing thing. Again, kind of like the Toronto game, maybe this game could have gone the other way easily or been a lot closer.
Every game he's produced world-class saves, whether it's stopping penalties, stopping breakaways, reflex saves on headers and shots from inside the six, just impossible stops. And he needs that to do that because this team gives up a lot of breakaway opportunities, gives up a lot of scoring chances. And right. They did that last year too, by the way, but not quite as often, and the opposition wasn't as successful quite as often last year as this year. So that is the soft spot in the kind of the soft underbelly of the team, is that when they give up, they tend to give up position in bad spots, and then there's instant transition coming back down the field the other way. But
right.
With Petrovic back there, you feel pretty good. And you kind of ask yourself, can he keep this up? Can he keep up this pace, which is already in just limited playing time, he's one of the top goalies in MLS.
I mean, he is certainly saving the day for the Revolution already. And his shot stopping is really, I think, second to none in the league. And I would argue is, from a shot stopping perspective, maybe even stronger than Matt Turner in some ways. I'm not sure about that yet, but he's just had a string of just amazing games. I would say the one area that could be improved is his distribution of the ball. But I think that was a challenge with the whole team last night. The Revolution were a giveaway machine, and it was all around the field. Like I mentioned, NYC looked a lot stronger overall in terms of possession. But time and time again, the Revs were giving up the ball. And again, maybe it's just a lot of new people on the field playing together, and in ways that they haven't before. Bell playing left back, I think, for the first time, he said, since college. Had a pretty good game, had an opening goal. That was a surprise, and that was exciting. You had Buck starting his second game now, so players still getting used to playing with Buck. He scores a goal.
I think he's looked pretty good so far. He's still clearly getting used to playing with the first team, and has been guilty of giveaways like some others, but he got his first goal the other night. Every game he seems to do something a little bit different. He's willing to take on defenders, willing to try to make a pass that might not be sort of the obvious play if it can maybe give the team an advantage. So it's been exciting to watch. I think both younger players have come in and have really tried to make a difference, and you can see that there's quality there that can emerge.
Right. Yeah, you made a comment the other day, and who was saying this about Dempsey, that he used to try stuff?
Right. And, yeah. I mean, I think that was actually Bruce Arena talking about Clint Dempsey and why he was playing him on the national team. He just tries things that he doesn't just pass the ball back to the defender.
Right.
He takes on his man, or he tries to move the ball up the field. So that's definitely seems to be that Noel Buck has a little bit of that. It's still early. You know, he's not Clint Dempsey yet, but the potential is there, I think.
Well, he is only 17. As De La Garza had a funny tweet when he was signing autographs after the game. He was saying that those were his friends from middle school. And, but he's holding his own out there, had a great strike, and that was exciting to take that in and to see someone's first goal in their career at the major league level. That was fun to be there and to see that, of course.
Yeah, very cool.
Maciel had a monster game as well. In fact, he set up the goal for Buck with a really nice turn, broke the ankles of the NYC defender, and overall just had a lot of great play in the midfield. So he's sort of come out of nowhere, taking advantage of his opportunities with a depleted team, and it's looking like a solid starter now for the Revs.
Yeah, I agree, and I think you see the difference in the team when Maciel and Kaptoum, or at least one of them, is on the field. They're a lot more comfortable in possession. Heal doesn't have to do... Heal suddenly is not the only player that can move the ball around and set up his teammates. And they can keep the ball a little more easily. They're not just knocking it forward to a target player and hopes of holding onto the ball.
One thing I noticed last night is that Heal whether he has the ball or not, of course, he's always somebody that defenders are going to be worried about. So when he makes a run, he draws two or three people in his general direction. So like you said, even if he's not the one with the ball all the time, he's still directing things on the field and changing the whole setup of the game just by where he is on the pitch. So there is some future potential, but this season is winding down. They're in the last playoff spot right now, tentatively, with a game in hand against two teams. But they still could make the playoffs, and Arena has gone on record as saying if they get some of their players back by October, they'll be a tough team.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical. I saw Matthew Doyle at MLSsoccer.com also mentioned that he thought if the Revs get in, they'll be tough to beat in the playoffs. I'm not so sure. I'd like to see some of the players come back, some of the new signings and some of the old players who've been out with injuries. But I'm not sure at this point in the season you can just sprinkle in someone who hasn't been in training, someone who has missed the whole season, and expect them to step in and score goals. You know, we've seen that with Gustavo Bow coming back from injury. He's looked very rusty. You know, Arena has said the team botched the rehab process for him. That was surprising because they've been so tight-lipped about injuries and, you know, players are out and you can't get an answer. Matt Turner, it was a great mystery as to why he was out earlier in the season. So we'll see. I'm maybe not as optimistic as you are about that. I hope that it works out, but I think potentially they'll be mixing in a lot of new folks all at once at a very crucial time, and that can go either way, right? The other teams don't necessarily have film on how that player will impact the Revolution attack. But the Revs don't really know either, I don't think. So when they get Veroni back, or is it Shahidi, who they signed from LAFC, I think, or Carlos Heel's brother, Nacho, it's a total black box, and you just don't know what you're going to get. And this is, you know, I don't know, this doesn't mean anything really, but all the Revs games left in the schedule start at different times. So that's another thing. A little off topic, I guess, but.
Interesting. So they might not have their warm up routines might be thrown off a little bit. Well, in Arena and Carlos Heel, we trust, and Petrovic and a few other players like Maciel.
That's right.
and McNamara and a lot of Buck and a lot of people who are trying to step up, and Farrell, of course, who sprang the team for the third goal last night and a brilliant pass up to Jones. I should add too.
Right, and of course the great. The great Ima Boateng, without whom they might not even be still in the playoff race this year.
Right. So there's reason for optimism. I'm going to stick with my optimism after last night's game, and we'll see what happens next week.
All right. I want to be convinced.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
We thank you for listening to The Last Team on Turf, a New England Revolution fan podcast with Eric Warista and Noam Shore. We hope you enjoyed the show and can't wait to hear from you. The show was hosted, produced, and edited by Eric Warista and Noam Shore, and all opinions expressed are their own. Incidental music written, arranged, and performed by Eric Warista. Rev's crowd clips appear courtesy of the New England Revolution.